T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to today's Battleground America podcast. All right, the left is not taking the news of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death and imminent replacement on the Supreme Court very well. As I was cutting this audio over the weekend, two of my three children came into the room and were like, "What is that?" The sound was so disturbing. They're like, "What is wrong with that woman?" I know, excellent question. But I think she speaks for the left here. This went viral this weekend on social media, and it pretty much captures the left's take on this whole thing. While driving, she did this, no less.
"You guys, I'm driving your car, but I just got a notification that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. Could this year get any worse? Ruth, you just had to make it to 2021.
And of course, as we all know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg could have delayed her own death a few months. We could all do, wait, no, we can't. My children were just wide-eyed. They were like, "What is wrong with that woman?" I'm like, liberalism. Anyway, so the threats began almost immediately. And you know what this all goes back to? It's all the same thing. Same thing with the election, too, and the mail-in balloting. What is the goal of that? Kick it into the courts or into Congress. Institutions, the elites, and particularly the globalist liberal elites, believe they have a better chance of controlling than the people. This is the same darn thing. The first thing they go to now is, "Well, we'll impeach him to stop this. We'll impeach him. No, that's not how impeachment's supposed to be used. You need a high crime or misdemeanor. I mean, I guess they mean they'll just make another one up again. Here's that from George Stephanopoulos and Nancy Pelosi.
"Some have mentioned the possibility, if they try to push through a nominee in a lame duck session, that you and the House could move to impeach President Trump or Attorney General Barr as a way of stalling and preventing the Senate from acting on this nomination."
"Well, we have our options. We have arrows in our quiver that I'm not about to discuss right now."
The thing is, this may not just be about the balance of the court going forward. It'd be 6-3. Constitutionalist. It may actually determine the outcome of the election, whether they do this appointment before the election. And I would maintain the same as Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz. They cannot do it in the lame duck. It's got to be before the election. He nailed why. They are trying to steal the election. They are trying to do whatever they can to make sure this election is decided not by the voters, but by the elites. That's what all of these coups have been about. The Russian coup, the impeachment, all of that. Undoing the will of the people. And this is why this appointment to the Supreme Court must be made before the election, because they are inevitably going to hear cases about mail-in balloting, wherein the Democrats want to legalize fraud in a lot of these states. Or judges are making rulings in mail-in balloting that go against state law and literally allow what otherwise would be cheating, but for the judge's rule. And so Ted Cruz is right. The reason this has got to get done now is because we need this person on the court once the voting day begins.
I think it is particularly important that the Senate take it up and confirm this nomination before the election. Because Joe Biden has been explicit. He has said if he doesn't win, he's going to challenge this election. He's going to go to court. He's going to challenge it. He's already hired a big legal team. Hillary Clinton has told Joe Biden, under no circumstances should you concede. Given that, there is a serious risk of a constitutional crisis if Joe Biden is bringing litigation.
Yes, and that's because we'd be left with a 4-4 Supreme Court. 4-vote one way, 4-vote the other way. This gives us a 6-3. And a hope of overcoming voter fraud that is mandated by some judge's ruling, or at least allowed by some state-level judge's ruling. So it's critical to Donald J. Trump getting a fair shot at an election that this person be appointed, not in the lame duck, but before the election. Absolutely critical to the future of the country. There's nothing more important right now, judicially speaking. Okay, but long term, don't get too used to him, because the left, i.e. namely Eric Holder, already promising, look, you can appoint this person all you want, but the next time that we get power and, you know, we have the presidency, we have the Senate, the next time we're going to remake the court, which they can. They can go up to 20 justices. They could go down to 2 if they want to. They could fire all the constitutionalist judges and just go with activist, i.e. liberal judges who make it up as they go along, use international law, do whatever they want. They have the power, Congress does, to do all of that. And they're saying they're going to bring it back, that they will. And they're saying it's in response to this. We're mad that Trump wants to have a last-minute appointment. That's actually not true. But let me play for you first what Eric Holder, our former attorney general, is threatening here if Trump goes forward with this judge and they win control of the presidency and the Congress.
If they are successful in placing a justice on the court, I think that what Democrats have to do, assuming that Biden is president and there is a Senate majority for the Democrats, we need to think about court reform. And at a minimum, as part of that reform package, I think additional justices need to be placed on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, additional justices have to be placed on the Supreme Court. Okay, this is not new. And this is why I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we need this appointment done before the election, but don't get too used to whoever they appoint. Because the left has already promised to start brooming, getting rid of Supreme Court justices they don't like, which constitutionally the Senate can do. The Constitution only mandates that there be a Supreme Court. It doesn't say how many people have to be on it, how long they have to, serve, or Congress has to let them serve, is a better way to put it. So Congress can just remake the Supreme Court every time the Democrats are in power if they want to. They can have 20 justices or 3 or just 1 if they would like. They only are required by the Constitution to have a court. So let's go back to August of 2019. Let me tell you how all this is going to begin to change. In August of 2019, Democrat senators did something, quite frankly, horrific. There was a gun law case out of New York that the Supreme Court was supposed to hear, and the Democrats' contention's always been that we should throw out the Bill of Rights and not have a second, or really, quite frankly, even a First Amendment. So in a letter to the Supreme Court, the Democrat senators threatened the court, accused it of being not well, threatened it to rule the way they wanted on the gun law case, and suggested they could demand it be restructured if the court did not, quote, heal itself, unquote. Yeah, it was a thuggish judicial manipulation and intimidation. But they flat out put it in writing, we're going to restructure the court. You better rule the way we want. You better do what we want. The Constitution be damned. Or we'll fire you. So have you noticed Chief Justice John Roberts has gone very haywire since then? He's never been super dependable. But on cases that matter to the elites, he rules with them and the Democrats. This is why. The Democrats have all but said they'll replace him unless he does what they want. The letter that was written in August of 2019, first threatening to restructure the court, was so appalling that all 53 Republicans, who never all agree on anything, joined together to call out their Democrat colleagues for what they described as a left-wing assault on judicial independence. I'm reading from this article, Senate Republicans in Supreme Court letter accused Dems of assault on judiciary. So this is August 29, 2019 from Fox News. So the real importance of the Supreme Court justice may only be temporary. This person may be gone quickly if the Democrats win the presidency and win the Senate. So the real need for this person is for them to be appointed before the election. Watch this. Watch this with Lindsey Graham. He knows this. The Supreme Court will be all important because the Democrats are using mail-in balloting, as I've said, to knock the decision on who gets the presidency into the courts. But if they win, they're going to broom the Supreme Court. You won't recognize it. It'll be a Democratic institution that votes the way the Senate wants it to, the way the Democrat Party wants it to, really. It'll become like the FBI almost, just an attaché, a sort of arm of the Democrat Party and nothing else. Answers to no one else. Like that. Speaking of winning or not winning the presidency, for now, I'm going to go ahead and move Michigan and Pennsylvania into the Biden column. He's already won these states. Wait, what? We didn't vote yet. Doesn't matter. Not given what happened here recently, particularly in Michigan, folks, which we won with less than a percentage point last time. A judge in Michigan on Friday said the state must accept ballots. Are you ready for this? Sit down. That arrive up to 14 days late after the November 3rd election. And the court will allow ballot harvesting. What is ballot harvesting? Ballot harvesting is how the Democrats have stolen several congressional seats in California. And in states where ballot harvesting is allowed, you're going to begin to see what you see in California. You're going to begin to see red districts suddenly flip to blue, out of the clear blue. Yeah, that's what happens when you can bring in stacks, boxes, truckloads of ballots and just hand them in. That used to be illegal. You used to personally have to show your ID and turn in your ballot. Some combo of that, but you had to personally bring it to a polling place. This gets rid of that. And so what that means is when Bill Barr, Attorney General, a few weeks ago said, what's to stop the Chinese from just printing their own ballots and bringing them in boxes? And he answered his own question, why nothing? Well, that's what he's talking about, this ballot harvesting. So they're going to combine ballot harvesting, whoever brings in ballots from all over the place that arrive up to 14 days late. Why 14 days late? Well, they need to know how many ballots they need to steal the election. We can't win Michigan under those circumstances. We absolutely cannot. In Pennsylvania, they just ruled that ballots will be accepted up to 3 days after the election. So under these conditions, folks, we can't win these states. We can't. Now, I may move them back in the toss-up category if we get court rulings overruling these. But if we go into the election like this, these states are done. We're finished with them. We're done. We can't win them. So in this way, folks, the election is already being stolen from the American people. The elites, that's the common theme here. If you want to understand all these court cases and judges ruling by left-wing activist judges, this is, again, to take the power out of the hands of the people who they no longer trust because they chose wrong. They voted against Hillary Clinton and put it in the hands of institutions they control. State courts, Supreme Court, they're hoping to control that, and ultimately Congress. We'll be back in just a few on the Battleground America podcast. So did you hear the threats of violence if the left doesn't get its way this weekend? No? Listen carefully. They were there. Folks,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Before, when, if you know, if somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a year ago, 2 years ago, if someone like her had said Mitch McConnell, the head of the Senate, Republican head of the Senate, is playing with fire here if he confirms this Supreme Court justice, this pick of Trump's, it wouldn't have been a big deal. It's political rhetoric. But when your shock troops in the streets are actually using fire to burn buildings down, when Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, has to ask his lunatic followers to please stop locking people in buildings and then setting them on fire in an attempt to burn them alive, when he has to publicly say that, and you're talking about fire, when you're saying, hey, let this radicalize you like she did this weekend about the Ginsburg replacement, this is a threat. When you have praised the people taking to the streets, as AOC has recently, and you know that they have done upwards of $5 billion worth of damage since George Floyd died, that's a loaded threat. And the media would recognize it for exactly what it is if the right were saying it after an indisputable spree of violence. Again, the III, the Insurance Institute estimate of the damage done, between $1 and $2 billion. That's just between May 26th, when George Floyd died, and June 8th. They're thinking it could go as high as $5 billion by now, basically. They've only calculated the payouts through June 8th. So when you've already done that level of damage, and you say what I'm about to play you from AOC, this is a threat. Amy Klobuchar, Democrat presidential candidate, this time she dropped out of the primary, also made a threat. Take a listen.
We all need to be more courageous, and we all must act in unprecedented ways to make sure that our rights are stabilized. And to Mitch McConnell, we need to tell him that he is playing with fire. We need to make sure that this vacancy is protected, that our election continues, and that the American people have their say.
Now listen to Amy Klobuchar talk about revolution if they don't get their way.
I think it is like a literal virtual to fit our times revolution going on. People have had it with this guy.
No, the Democrats have just had it with not getting what they want on demand. The idea that this has never been done before is absurd. And the idea that this has never been done by them before is absurd. Take a listen to Senator Ted Cruz here.
Jimmy Carter appointed Stephen Breyer on November 10th, 1980. So it was after the presidential election. Jimmy Carter had just lost to Ronald Reagan, and he appointed Steve Breyer anyway, right after the election. And you know what the Democratic Senate did? By the way, the voters had just thrown the Democratic Senate out and said, we're going to have a Republican Senate. The Democratic Senate took it up in December and confirmed it in the lame duck.
So the idea that the Republicans are doing something historically abnormal here is absurd. We're doing it, hopefully, before the election. They just did it, an election they lost. Jimmy Carter lost, and so did the Senate. And they did it in the lame duck. So, historically, Republicans are in the right here. They have the absolute right to do this. We have the history of Democrats doing this. This is just open and shut. But you won't hear that from the mainstream media. You won't hear about this either. This is one of the most stunning things I have ever seen politically. It shows the depth of, quite frankly, Joe Biden's mental illness. Not dementia, psychological illness. He's not well. He's never been well. He is an absolute compulsive liar of the highest degree. You ever known one of those? Ever worked with one of those? My husband did. The guy was an embarrassment. It would literally embarrass other people when he began talking at work. He claimed he'd been a millionaire, but he lost it all. He was also a jet pilot in the Air Force. He was like a fighter pilot. He'd been a firefighter. I mean, crazy. It got so absurd. That's Joe. If you had a neighbor like Joe who had as bad of a compulsive lying problem as Joe has, they would be the talk of the neighborhood. The person would be rejected socially. There's no way they'd get elected to run the neighborhood association. This is who the Democrats are running for president. Now, look, I've explained this before. All politicians exaggerate. My program saved 25,000 lives. No, it didn't. Your program killed 1,500 people. Oh, come on. Those are exaggerations. That's not what I'm talking about. Those are at least politically logical lies or exaggerations. Joe's a true compulsive liar. One of my favorite examples of this is the sick story he would tell over and over on the campaign trail. His baby daughter and his wife had been killed in an auto accident that she caused. She ran a stop sign, hit another guy. Very tragic. We hate that it happened. But Joe, on the campaign trail, would say the guy she hit had actually killed her. He would say he was a drunk driver, he drank his lunch, and then plowed into my wife. Well, every time Joe would start lying about that again, that guy was the victim. He wasn't drunk. The family of the driver would have to threaten to sue Joe again. Joe couldn't help himself. Joe's, there's a ton of examples of this. You can look them up, right? But the biggest one, the most fabulous of Joe's fabulous lies was the one that wrecked his 1988 presidential run. He had to drop out of it in shame. Not only did he plagiarize Neil McKinnock, a Labour Party UK politician, he didn't just take his speech. Joe has a long history of plagiarism. He's been busted for it many times, including in school and in college. But no, he stole not just the speech, but Mr. Kinnock's life, his life story. Kinnock, like Joe, came from a mining background. Kinnock had not been to college, was the first one in his family to go. And so Joe literally stole that passage of Kinnock's speech and claimed that he, too, came from a mining background and was the first to go to college. One problem. Joe was not the first to go to college, not by a long shot. His great-grandfather, among others in his family, attended college at a time when fewer than 2% of college-age men and women in the U.S. did so. His great-grandfather worked as an engineer in mining. Joe was later forced to admit that. It cost him the presidency. He had to drop out. That very lie, that exact lie, is the one he told again last week at his town hall. If a lie caused you humiliation that lasted decades, if a lie cost you your presidential campaign, if you had to wait decades till that lie was forgotten, would you tell that exact lie again? He did. He did. Folks, it's proof he can't stop. And here's the crazy part. He was finally forced to admit by the New York Times and others reporting that he had been lying, that he'd not only stolen McKinnock's speech, he'd stolen his whole biography, took his life as his own, his story as his own, even though he knew it wasn't true. Do you know it was 33 years ago to the day that he'd had to admit he was lying and ultimately drop out of the election, that he told the lie again last week at a CNN town hall? God, I'd love to see a psychological profile of this guy. He's not well. Now, here's the stunner, folks. This is how utterly unfamiliar reporters are with Joe Biden's history and background. Do you know how this lie came to light? Molly Hemingway of The Federalist discovered it because reporters were tweeting that line out. Charlotte Alter of Time magazine and a reporter from Politico thought it was like one of the best lines in the whole speech. And they tweeted it out, not quoting Biden, not realizing that Biden had been busted before, humiliated, and forced to drop out of the presidential race for telling the exact same lie 33 years before. Politico's Tim Alberta praised it in a tweet. He said this might be the single most effective line deployed against Trump since he rode down the escalator. And here's the quote from Biden, as Alberta is quoting him. Quote, guys like me, the first in my family to go to college, we're as good as anyone else. And guys like Trump, who inherited everything and squandered what they inherited, are the people I've always had a problem with. The media thought this was glorious. It was brilliant. They didn't even know they were supposed to cover for his lies by lies of omission of their own, by leaving it out. That's how utterly unfamiliar they are with Biden's record. And just the rebukes Biden took for it at the time, it was stunning he would do it again, given how humiliating they were. This is Johnny Carson. Biden was even made fun of on Johnny Carson's show, became a punchline on Johnny Carson's show for this exact lie, the very lie he would tell again last week at the CNN town hall. Listen.
Now, on the political scene, one of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech, and apparently he quoted a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him, and then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry, he reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
If that weren't humiliation enough, this should have been the fallout and humiliation from the rest of the lies he told. Listen to the mainstream media at the time mock him for those. Mainstream media today doesn't appear to have any idea this ever happened.
Senator Joseph Biden may have more explaining to do.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
Bob.
It's in terminal condition.
Terminal. Eleanor.
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead.
Of course, all this assumes there ever is a Biden-Harris administration, since both Biden and Harris last week referred to it as the Harris-Biden administration. Folks, after an audio clip that came out this weekend, seriously, I'm wondering if Team Biden wins, he'll ever even be inaugurated. This is the second of these in just 2 weeks. Joe Biden at the U.S. Constitution Center in Pennsylvania, looking so exhausted, barely able to speak. I think this is one of those, he was responding to the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He couldn't do it in his basement. He had to come out for that. So they sent him to the Constitution Center. And this is clearly one of those times he was not physically ready to be speaking on camera, yet they insisted he do it. Listen to the exhaustion in his voice. You can't see it because this is a podcast. But let me tell you, before you listen to this, it almost sounds like he went running to the podium and was out of breath. He did not. He shuffled slowly to the podium. Listen to this. He can barely speak.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the nation's Constitution Center. I had the great privilege of being the guest leader of this outfit for a year. It's an appropriate place to make the speech about to make.
He's barely hanging on, folks. Remember the one just like it from 2 weeks ago where he's asked a simple question in a virtual town hall by a person clearly reading the question, and he can barely physically get through it.
What will your administration do to help them give them that chance? Thank you.
Move it up here. You know, there used to be a basic bargain in this country. Workers shared in the wealth.
And then this one as well.
The complications from COVID-19, which are well beyond what they should be. It's estimated that 200 million people have died, probably by the time I finish this talk.
Good Lord, I hope not. That'd be a lot of people I know at that rate. We're only a country of 300 and well, God knows how many. Our borders are practically open or have been for many years. Trump took aim at all this with this about a debate between Trump and Biden. At this point, I mean, Biden'd have to sit down for the 2 hours to pull it off. And really what Trump is saying out loud is what we've all thought. They're really going to have to medicate Biden to get him through it. Maybe they can do it. I don't know. Here's Trump's take on all this.
The whole thing is a sad thing. And you said it before. The Harris-Biden administration. Who would ever say such a thing? I mean, I've been here for quite a while now, almost 4 years, if you can believe it. I never said the Pence-Trump administration. You don't say that. It's like so unnatural. Who would say what he said? You would think it's impossible unless there's something wrong.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Please subscribe and share. with friends and family across the country. Talk to you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.